Kind of cold. That's all right. Not cold people. I'm just saying they talk differently. All right, now I need everyone's attention for just one moment. No, really, for the next till I'm done. But let's start with this. The fast of 2021 begins in the morning. In the morning, on January the 4th until the 31st, this church, pardon me, is going to have our annual fast. Are you with me? I really need your attention on this very, very much if you're watching online. In this fast this year, I'm going to ask only people that are really going to fast, however God speaks to you to do it, and that's in regard to food. If you fast one, eat one meal and fast two or whatever, but I'm asking you to make a sacrifice this year. I want this fast, in fact, I'm going to insist on that this fast be real. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it hasn't been real in the past, but there are times when fasts become convenient. Somebody say amen. But when we sacrifice ourselves, here's what's happening in a fast. There's a purification process that starts happening in your spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Somebody said, quit that, Pastor. Okay, I will. There's a purification process that begins, and that purification continues, and revelation of the Holy Spirit becomes more revealed to you, and more your ear becomes more sensitive in a fast. It's absolutely a wonderful, wonderful thing. You'll learn that. Many times people aren't preaching or teaching fast. We not only are fasting from tomorrow, the 4th, until the 31st, but we are fasting all the entire year, and I'll tell you how we're doing that. Have you got your sign-ups ready, Pastor Dave? All right, you got your people ready? Okay. Here's what I want. You see the people are standing around. You have their sheets. I'm going to ask that we have at least 50, if 100 is fine, that say 1 week during the year. Now, you'll be notified during the year. You'll say this coming Saturday to the following Sunday is your week to fast. And I want to cover this entire year with a fast in our church. Now, I've done this many years, and you have no idea the power of fast, breaking strongholds, loosening. I'm going to show you what a fast does in just a minute. But I want to ask that 50 people at least will just hold up your hand and say, give me, let me sign up. And these people with notebooks are going to sign. Hold your hand like you're really glad you're doing a fast. It's a celebration. It is not an obligation. To fast is a celebration. So we'll get to you. Just sign, hand them the card. Yeah, and just sign that, Ray, if you will, and then hand it right behind you. And sign it up real quick. And as they're signing, and I'll look at that number and I'll let you know, we've had as many as 100, 125 in a year fast during the year. But this coming, this short-term fast of January 4th through January 31 is for the entirety of everyone. Now, I know this, that I know, can I speak real plain if I can say, okay? Oh, four of you think I should, okay. I know that not everyone that says I'm going to fast is really going to fast. And that's all right. I'm not mad at you. Keep your hands up if you haven't signed yet. I understand. I'm not mad at you or anything. But this year, I can't afford to have anything less than commitment for what we're facing in our country this year. Now, what are we facing? We're facing the greatest year of the church since the inception of the church this year. You see, the greater the challenge, the Word of God says, where sin avails, grace does much more, lifts up a wall greater. Amen? So This is going to be an incredible year. Let me tell you about fasting. Isaiah chapter 58. This is not my message. You're getting too many messages this morning. Isaiah 58 says, shout a full-throated shout. Now, I'm reading this from the message because I just like the way it sounds. I don't always trust that for actual correct interpretation, but I like it in this one. Shout with a full-throated shout. Hold nothing back. A trumpet blast. Shout. Tell my people what's wrong with their lives. Face my family, Jacob, with their sins. They're busy, busy, busy to worship and to love studying about me. To all appearances, they are a nation of right-living people, law-abiding, God-honoring. They ask me, what's the right thing to do? And love having me on their side. But they also complain. Why do we fast and you do not look our way? Why do we humble ourselves and you don't even notice? Well, here's why. The bottom line of your fast days is profit. To drive your employees much too hard. You fast, but at the same time, you bicker and fight. You fast, but you swing a mean fist. The kind of fast you do, listen to this, here's a punchline, won't get your prayers off the ground. That's why I'm telling you I'm serious about fasting. If you haven't got your name written, keep your hand up. That kind of fast, says, won't get your prayers off the ground. Do you think this is some kind of fast day? I'm after a day to show off humility, to put a pious long face and parade around solemnly in black. Do you call that fasting? Now that's the rebuke, but let me tell you what happens when you fast, because this is what this is about. A fast day that I, God, would like. Here it is. This is the kind of fast I'm after. This is what a fast will do in your life and in this church. Break the chains of injustice. Get rid of in the workplace. Free the oppressed. Cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering, ill-clad, being available to your own families. Now listen to this. When you fast, when you sacrifice, when you take away from your physical being in order to honor God, here's a guarantee. If you believe the word of God is true and accurate and his promises are right, say amen. Amen. Do this and the lights will turn on. And your life will turn around at once. This is what fasting does. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help, and I'll say, here I am. He continues on and says, if you'll get rid of your unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about others' sins. If you are generous for the hungry and start giving yourself to the down and out, your life will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will also show you where you are to go. He's going to lead us. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest places, firm muscles and strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, gurgling springs that never run dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build a new. Listen to that. Rebuild the foundations from your past. You'll know as those who can, you'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, and rebuild and renovate. Make the community alive again. How many wants to do that? If you watch your step on the Sabbath, I'm calling you to be in church more regularly than you've ever been. Believe me, don't wait until the day of crisis to jam into the church. Be here when the doors are open. Be here Sunday morning. Be here Sunday night. Be here Wednesday night. Three times a week is all we have. I see the day coming, and I'm going to tell you this, and I wasn't going to, but I had a vision of this very house a couple years, two or three years ago. And it was in the time of crisis in our land. I saw this house so full that people were standing around the edges trying to get in here. And it was the presence of God. That it wasn't based out of fear. It wasn't based out of tragedy. It was the presence of God was in this house, and people want the real thing. Amen? I saw that in my mind, and I know God's going to do that. And I'll tell you something else that'll really shiver your timbers. This was a Thursday night. We had church Sunday morning and Sunday night. We had church Wednesday night, but this was the overflow of hunger was so great that we had to create another service. And all these young preachers were rotating and preaching the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And this church was eating it up, and the community was seeing the benefit. And I believe by saying that, I can comfortably say I know it was from God. And that day is ahead of us and quicker than we think. But it takes every one of us to make that extra effort. Fasting is an extra effort. But when we sacrifice, God will do great things. If you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for your personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day, as a celebration. What is this today? It's a celebration. Somebody say amen. If you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Now listen to this last bit. Oh, I will make you ride. Listen to this. Oh, I will make you ride and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestors, Jacob. Yes, says the Lord God. And I'm saying this, you're going to feast on the inheritance of Jacob when you follow what I'm saying. I'm your shepherd. I'm your pastor. I've been doing this. I think we're starting 18 or 19 years this year. I'm terrible with dates, but I can tell you as long as I've been here, I can tell you in my personal life, and I can tell you as I lead you, if you want to grow closer to God, in fact, now is the time to do it. Above any other time we've ever been, we've seen other crises, and I said, well, we need to get close to God. But there is an evil in the land today that we have never experienced, but it's under the control of God. You don't understand something about Jesus. If you didn't see the theme for this year, it's Jesus is. Now, that sounds pretty simple till you get into it, but we're going to get into that this year. Jesus is. And when you think about Jesus, John chapter 1 says he's the creator. If you believe that, say amen. He is the creator. So that means everything else other than God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, everything else has been created, including evil and Satan and all the demonic powers of this world. They've been created by God, and they can be destroyed by God too. Amen? And they're going to. You need to destroy them out of your life first. I'm telling you, you can justify, you can rationalize, you can do anything you want to and say, well, I'm only human or I've got weaknesses. It doesn't matter. God's not going to judge you based on our comparative righteousness. He's going to judge you on your heart, nothing else. So when you decide, I'm going to follow Jesus, then Jesus will help you. We just saw that in 58. He's going to be there for you. If you're looking forward to 2021, say amen. Amen. This is the first Sunday of 2021. Is 52 weeks. Okay, we'll ask tonight too, and Wednesday night as well. We'll get 100 people behind us here. Judges chapter 6. I saw something in this and I cannot get away. If you'll notice, I've been mentioning Gideon several times in the last 2 or 3 weeks. But I want you to hear this word this morning, because the Holy Spirit enlightened something to me, as only He can. In Judges chapter 6, verse 33, and I'm reading, I think, from the NIV, Brian. Verse 33 says, "Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel." It wasn't just the Midianites coming to steal everything, but they got a hold of every evil country around them at the time and said, "Let's go destroy Israel." Now, I want to tell you something. Everyone who's got the microphone can make the loudest noise, but it doesn't mean anything. I'm hearing the media today echo the words of certain politicians that they're allowing. Do you know how little this is to God? Do you know how small? Do you understand how non-threatening this is to the Almighty God? For somebody to get up and shake his fist at God or threaten children of God for serving Him? This isn't the first time this has ever happened. This isn't the first time that people have tried to take a country that was God-directed and turn it into something it's not, and they could try that, but one thing they cannot do, they cannot change who you are in Jesus Christ. They cannot change the promises of God in your life, and whereas the world has no promises, but literally depends on this thing they like to use called fate, which is real. It's like throwing dice. It's just a gamble. But you don't live on fate. You don't live on a roll of the dice. You live on the promises of the Word of God. And when the Bible says that they're yea or yes and amen, that means they're settled in the kingdom of God as promises. Amen. "Now the Midianites, Amalekites, and the other eastern people joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped on the valley of Jezreel. Then," and here is what got me, "then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon." Oh my goodness. Your reaction is pulling me back. That was your key to jump up on the back of your chair and shout, "Praise God." Well, you can't move me. I guarantee you that's right. If God can't, I sure can't. Well, you can't manipulate me. Absolutely wouldn't try for anything in the world. But when I get a rhema word, when I get a word from God that talks about one of the judges in the Old Testament, how the Holy Spirit was active then, I know He's active now. And when I see what happens when the Holy Spirit involves Himself in your life, I'm telling you, if you'll humble yourself and quit trying to figure something out theologically and worry about whether I'm trying to dictate you or tell you, and just receive the Word of God in your heart and use it, you're going to find out that God will mold you and make you into something that you never dreamed possible. "Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon." Woo! Oh, glory! Hallelujah! The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of God settled on this man. Well, the Holy Spirit wasn't the Holy Spirit then. Are you nuts? He is the I Am. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. There's no competition in the Godhead. They're three and they're one. One God. Listen to Him. The Holy Spirit. "Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet." You'll hear the title already, or early or later? Now. Let me find it. Max can tell you. Here's the title. I hear a trumpet call. I'm hearing something faintly. I'm hearing the trumpet call. Word of God says he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites. I had to say that right. I looked that up in Hebrew. And to follow him. That was his tribe. He was part of Abiezer, and those were the Abiezrites, and they were part of the half-tribe of Manasseh. And so he calls his people and everyone else that will listen. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, all other tribes, and that they too went up to meet him. Listen to these thoughts real quick. There's one king. Anytime you want to say amen, you can start with that one right there. There's one king. There ain't no leaders of politics. Let me tell you, life's over that fast. The most evil, Adolf Hitler had 13 years. Gaddafi had 14 years, whatever. All of the worst leaders in the world have a span of time. But I'm going to tell you, as they thought they were in control and destroyed many, there is only one king. And he abides forever. There's one king, one name, one power and one authority, one glory and one majesty, one God and one Lord. As one leader, we have one leader. His name is eternal and will be echoed and praised by the angels and the redeemed and heralded in all existence. It's the name of Jesus. These trivial, empty threats that cause you to glue your eyes to Fox because it's the only honest one. Do you know, if you put more faith in Fox than you do the Word of God, you need a spiritual cleansing. You need a pill, a gospel, and get over it. Well, you know what they said today? You know what's going to happen? Do you know how to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. You're right. That goes for the world. These empty, trivial threats leveled against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ absolutely have no effect on his glory or his being or his plan or his will. None. The deception and insanity of sin says they can speak Jesus out of existence and control his glorious plan. But they're blind. They're blind to his, not just glory and power. They're blind to his limitless love. You see, the very people that are cursing Jesus, he died for. The very ones that we call the enemy of the church and the enemy of God are the people that he loves so much that John 3:16 became their creed as well as mine. He loves the rankest sinner as much as he loves you, my friend. There's not a side with God. He's not a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. He's not a socialist or a capitalist. He's not a communist. He's God, and we're on his side. The deception, insanity, and the insanity of sin. They say that they can speak Jesus out of existence. And they can control his glorious plan. They're blind to his limitless love and his desire that everyone share in his great kingdom. If you believe that, say amen. And it's his desire that we all live eternally with him in this incomprehensible presence called the presence of God. Right now, today, Jesus is making room in his mercy for one more to come to him. That's why we're still here. To remove the hopelessness out of people's life. Just one more for eternal joy. And in order for you to have what Jesus has for his children, being one of his children, does and will and always has required you to leave the life you're living in the past or even the present, to leave that life and join yourself totally and completely with him more than ever before in your life. How many wants to leave things in your life out of everything? Just have a pure relationship with Jesus. If that's you, say amen. Your desires, your ideas, your definitions, to leave those and immerse yourself with Jesus. Jesus first and Jesus last. You see, that's a really big statement. Jesus first in my life. Every day, I'm confronted with situations, I'm confronted with decisions. And if I can put in my mind, if I can tattoo on the brain that I got in my head that Jesus first, then I'm going to make the right decisions. I'm going to follow God in the right way. He's first, he's last. He's everything. He will flood your life with his purpose when you put him first. God's promises will become your reality. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit will become your conscience. Your source of peace. Your fountain of unwavering joy. Boldness against Satan's threats. You become a light in the dark, morbid world that we live in. And your reality becomes the truth that Jesus is. Over everything, Jesus is. The demonic, toxic vine, now I'm meddling now, bear with me, but I'm a preacher and I can preach against preachers. In myself, I'm not coming across in this statement righteously. I'm coming across thinking and internally looking at my life and making sure I'm not guilty of what I'm just about to say. But it's happened. We see it rampantly in our country today. It's a demonic, toxic vine that has weaved itself into the fabric of the church. It's had its day. That was the punchline. Here's how the Holy Spirit gave it to me. Listen. Over every demonic, toxic vine that has weaved itself into the fabric of the church has had its day. Sayonara. There's a shaking happening in the church of God. I mean this. There's a shaking happening in the church of God. There's a cleansing going on in the house of God. The Holy Spirit is calling the wayward and the lukewarm and those who have gotten off track with false doctrines. He's wooing them back. There's a cry of repentance that's going across America today by church leaders that are going back to their original call, their original anointing, and it's going to they are going to be part of a great revival that we're in, not going to be in, we're in now. There's a hunger to go. This is for you. There's a hunger to go where you've never gone with Jesus. There's a longing to have what we've never had in serving God. There's a spirit of resolve in the church that's crying more of Jesus. And he's responding. He's filling those who are focusing their lives on Jesus. Nothing higher, no part-time, not talking it, not walking it, but living it. In Judges 6:34, I've just read, the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet summoning the Abiezrites there and all of his nation of Manasseh. And here's the thing about those people. When you read church history and you read rabbinic history, his tribe of Manasseh was only a half tribe, half Ephraim, half Manasseh, the sons of Joseph in Egypt. They were combined. That's why there's no tribe of Joseph. A half tribe to start with. And then when you look at the clan in his half tribe, his clan, which was brought about by Abiezer, his ancestor, his father, who was a grandson of Manasseh, they were considered the weakest clan in the weakest tribe of Israel. Weak. And God spoke to them. They were considered to be the weakest tribe of the nation. The trumpet of Gideon, listen to this, is sounding today. It's calling the weakest to be warriors. Are you listening? That sound of that trumpet is calling the weakest to be warriors. That trumpet's calling those without talents to pick up the gifts and talents that have been abandoned by the non-committed. It's sounding for those who are fed up with an enemy that's robbing the house of God of its harvest. The trumpet is sounding right now as I preach the word of God. He stood on a hillside. He took a trumpet. He took a shofar, whatever. He began to, and there it went. I can do it better than I can mock it. Mine's this long. He sung that call. And when he did, they become and started gathering in. They could, some were going, did you hear that noise? And they're going, no, I didn't hear anything. You see, there are going to be people that I preach to today that are watching online, maybe some sitting here today, that don't hear that trumpet call because they have no desire for it. But there are going to be some that do. There's going to be a few that do. There's going to be a few that get more than the tingles of a message and get the gist of what it's being said and are saying, I'm dropping everything in my life. I'm going to put Jesus first in my life. Jesus is in my life, and I'm going to ask him to fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit that he filled Gideon with and use me to sound the trumpet to others. He's going to let me pick up the gifts and talents that have been abandoned by the non-committed. It's sounding for those who are fed up with the enemy that's robbing the house of God of its harvest. I'm telling you, God's shaking the church. And he's looking for Gideons. That trumpet is sounding now in the ear and the heart of the desperate for God. I preached a message one time. Our dear great attorney Hunter Lundy told me it stuck with him. So Hunter, I'm sticking my foot in your mouth. I preached on faith. The third kind of faith out of three types of faith I preached was desperate faith. Now see, that's against some ideologies. But I'm telling you that I have got more from God when I got desperate than any other time in my life. desperate faith. That's saying, God, I'm not going to be left out. I'm not going to be left behind. I'm not going to settle for religion. I'm not going to settle for anything less than a move of God, a divine move of God. And my games and foolishness, I'm bringing to you and I'm laying them down. And I'm not going to try to put a front up in front of people and make them think one thing and you know the difference. I am done. And I'm saying, Jesus, you are everything to me. The trumpet's sounding now in the ears and hearts of the desperate. If you hear that faint sound of a trumpet calling you to, listen to this, calling you to something you can't do, calling you to something you don't know how to do, calling you to a place deeper than you've ever gone in Jesus. Then you're hearing what I'm hearing. It won't be everyone that wants it. It won't be everyone that receives it. There'll be people that say, well, I tried. No, you didn't. Because the Word of God says He will accept you. He'll call you in. He'll do things for you. In chapter 7, just following the 6, then early in the morning, Jerubbaal, or Gideon, and all his men encamped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into your hands, or Israel will boast against me. I want to tell you something. You're not going to be, look what you got, God. You're going to come before God on your face, bowed before Him, broken before Him, desperate to have what He has. You're going to have to leave your self-righteousness and all your years of serving God and doing all these great things and your depth of knowledge on the bucket. And if you're brand new, you can come in not knowing anything, but you're going to have to come in and say, Jesus, shake me, change me, do what you need to do. But I have committed my life to see what you can do in my life. My own strength. They'll say, my own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear can turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 left and 10,000 stayed. 10,000. He goes, still too many. Do you understand? I've been studying this, so I'm a little ahead of you on the thought process. But you don't have any idea what a committed life will do when Jesus sees it. When the games are done. When the foolishness of religion's done. When you try to justify your stance and ideology. I don't know enough. I haven't done enough. Or say something the scripture doesn't say and just throw it all away. And you pray the prayer that God gave me when I was on my back in a hospital. Heal my mind. Heal my mind, mighty God, that I see Jesus. Then, God, correct my thinking. Let my thinking be your thinking. And thirdly, God, direct my decisions and lead me to holiness, which is not anything like I thought it was. I've told you before, holiness isn't this or separation or my long dress or short dress. It has nothing to do with anything I thought it was. The Holy Spirit said to me, those might be some attributes of holiness, but holiness is a destination that I have for anyone that's hungry for me. I'll bring them into a place they've never been before. Holiness is opening its door to the church today. That trumpet call is going out. You're hearing a very real trumpet call now. And that trumpet is to bring deliverance to your world that's being victimized by the enemy of God. So what do we do? when all but 300 of 32,000 left, they left what they were carrying. They left lights, torches, and they left trumpets. And guess what accidentally happened? There were 300 of both. Just happened to be enough for what God saw as committed. You see, God doesn't choose you. He doesn't predestine you to be a preacher or not a preacher. The only thing God ever predestined was that his son die for your sins. He gives you a free will, but when you choose that free will to serve Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be a trumpet waiting for you. There's going to be a torch that you're going to break in the darkness waiting for you. Someone else has laid down. Someone else isn't committed to. They came with them, but they left without them. So what do? Pick up a trumpet. Pick up a light. And in perfect unity, blow your trumpet. And break the veil of darkness and let your light shine so you can, in this last moment of time, be a strength and a light to those who need it. This isn't the call of men. It's not the call of an organization. It's not a trend. It's deeper than all that. It's more than all of that. This is Jesus is in my life. This is taking a term and making it my being, that Jesus is to me. Nothing else has a greater authority or even any authority than Jesus is in my life. The call went out. Call went out. The trumpet sound. Let me ask you this question. Will you respond to the call? Trumpet's sounding now.